Job chapter 23, Job 23. I have a question for you. This, we're beginning a new series this morning, and by the way, I got to looking last week, and my website, the people that host my website had butchered it terribly, and so I spent some time on the phone with them on Friday, and they got it back up again. The handouts for the previous Sunday school series, are all of them are on my website. It's georgeschafer.com, and you're welcome to anything on there that you want. There's a whole lot of Bible study materials and such. So if you'd like to get copies of those, you're welcome to do that. If you can't do it that way, let me know. But it turns out that printing is more expensive than I realized. When we were in Maryland, we had color copier, we had a monochrome copier, we had printers everywhere, and I never had to pay attention to buying toner. I'm buying toner out here, it costs a lot of money. So, and besides the fact that I've got enough paper as it is, I like to scan things into my computer and lose the paper part of it, so... If you need any copies of anything, I'd be glad to try and get those to you. Job chapter 23. How many of you take vitamins every... No, before I say it, how many of you take vitamins? You take vitamins, all right? Most of us, okay. How many of you take vitamins every day? Okay. All right, Brother Dahlman, since you're up here in the front and people can hear your nice loud voice, I want to ask you this question. Why do you take vitamins every day? Okay, so it's a supplement your diet. Do you think it does you any good? Okay, when you take that vitamin, do you take it in the morning or the evening? Or morning, okay. When you take that vitamin, do you have a tremendous emotional release and it's like, oh, wow, I got to take my vitamin and does it do anything? No, it's just you take the vitamin, okay? Okay, why do you take them every day? Why not just take it once a week? Okay. Would it do you any good if you took them once a week?
Not nearly as much,
okay? You folks probably know where I'm going by now. We're going to talk about daily devotions, all right? Now, don't get worried, all right? I'm going to rough you up a little bit, and then I'm going to show you some things that we can do to make our daily devotions more valuable to us. To make sure that we have them. And then I'm going to, and I wish I could do it this week. I feel bad that I haven't got the time this week. But next week, I'm going to get you started on something that will help you to do daily devotions. And we're going to define what that means. We'll do some of that today. But let's begin this morning by looking at Job 23 and something that Job said. And I just remind you again, anytime you read the book of Job, the first thing you want to do when you read the book of Job is find out who's talking. Because Job and his friends take turns talking in the book of Job, and Job's friends are not right. They have some misconceptions. And so anytime I read any verse out of Job, the first thing I do is back up and see who's talking. Job's talking in chapter 23. We can see that from verse 1. It says, Job answered. And he said in verse 12, he says, Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And we learned in the last series that from Isaiah 59:21 that God promised that the words of his mouth would not depart forever, that they would be available to us. And so we praise the Lord. We just finished spending about 3 months talking about how we believe the King James Bible is a pure word of God. Right before I pray, let me say this. If we believe that this Bible is a pure word of God, shame on us if we're not spending enough time in it. Amen? It's amazing. A lot of folks that might defend the Bible and then leave it on the shelf all week long, we shouldn't do that. Let's bow and ask God to bless our time, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you this morning. Lord, you bless us beyond measure. And Lord, you do things that we don't deserve. And Lord, we're astounded to see how you have answered our prayers, and Lord, we shouldn't be. We should believe you when we ask, and we pray you'd give us the strength to do that more clearly. This morning, we lift this hour, this Sunday school hour, up to you, and I pray for each of the teachers that you'd give them a blessing today as they minister to their students. I pray the Word of God would be powerful. And Lord, I pray you'd help us this morning as we begin this new series on spending time in the Word of God each day. Father, you know, and I believe with all my heart, that if each person in this room would spend time in their Bible every day, profitable quality time in their Bible every day, that it would change not just our church, it would change our community, it would change our families, it would change our workplaces, it would be something that would be so overwhelming that it would change this side of our city. If we'd simply spend time every day in the Word of God, it would protect us. It would energize us, Lord, so many things. And we just pray today that as we look into this subject, you'd help us to do it properly. Help us not to go too slow or too fast. And help folks to have ears to hear. Give them ears to hear, we pray. And we pray for folks that are not with us today because of illness. I think of Michelle Sussman. Please comfort and lift her up. And I also pray for Crystal. You'd care for her health today as well. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're looking at Job 23 real quick. I just read you that one verse to launch out from. Job says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You have something physically, we all do, that keeps us every day. We eat because we have an appetite. If you don't have an appetite, something's wrong with you. For example, I don't think anybody here probably has trouble with appetite, but some people do. I told you about the lady that was, her and her husband provided me a place to stay when I was up in Salt Lake City 2 weeks ago. And she had gone to the hospital while I was up there and went in for open heart surgery. Surgery was successful. She was recovering in the hospital, but they said, we can't send you home until you gain weight. Oh, that I could hear a doctor say those words, you need to gain weight. And we just don't have that problem, it doesn't seem like, because we have an appetite. Now, we have folks here today, at least one medical professional that will tell you that when you are sick, when you are ill, sometimes you will lose your appetite. This lady that's in the hospital in Utah, she's losing her appetite because of the illness, and so she needs to make herself eat anyway. And I know we're all thinking, how could that possibly happen? Well, as far as food is concerned, I don't think most of us have that problem, but we ought to have an appetite for the Word of God. If you were to develop a habit by getting into the Word of God every day, and you were to do that for a period of time, and we're going to try and get that going in this class for those that may wrestle with that, and a lot of us have, then you would find that after a while, it would seem strange to you not to be in the Bible every day. I have found that with things I do, for example, when I was in Maryland, I was very faithful about taking vitamins. And every morning I'd get up and I had my place where the coffee pot sat and the vitamin cabinet sat. And, you know, I'd get those two things going. And out here, I've got to redevelop my habits. I've had trouble taking vitamins out here. And I need to be more faithful about that. And by the way, the older you get, the more you got to take care of your body, right? Because you can't abuse it like you could when you were Nathan's age. He can take it easy. I can't do that anymore. I've got to pay attention to it. And Brother Antonio's just about there. Amen? Got to take care of it. So, but when we have a deliberate effort to do something like that daily, it can become a habit. Now, I just want to go through the handout with you this morning and ask you a few questions to begin with. Don't answer out loud. Just answer in your heart. Do you read your Bible every day? Do you read your Bible every day? Like I said, I'm going to rough you up a little bit, but be patient with me because there is a motive here. D.L. Moody made a statement that we quote quite often, but we forget to ascribe it to him. He said, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. I believe that. I believe the Bible says, for example, in Psalm 119, that thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That when we have the Word of God in our heart, it protects us from temptation. Each time the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, those two accounts, each time he was tempted, the response was, it is written, and he quoted the Word of God. The Word of God can keep us from temptation. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Do you have a daily time of fellowship with God in his Word each day of the week? That's just an expansion on the first question. When we get into the Bible, it's not something that is obligatory. You know, I don't talk to my wife because it's obligatory. I talk to my wife because I love her, and we love to have fellowship with each other. And when you hear from God, you hear from God through His Word. Amen? I like what He says. Sometimes He says things that chasten me. Sometimes He says things that encourage me. All the time He gives me the truth. I can't go anywhere else in the world and be assured that I will get the truth 100% of the time. Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. In fact, we'll see another verse in a minute that talks about loving the Word of God. Well, it's right there at the top of the handout. Psalm 119, 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Nothing else that you see all day long, not the internet, not the television, not the people you talk to, not the billboards, not the magazines, not the newspaper, nothing else you see all day long is guaranteed to be 100% true except the Word of God. Every word of God is pure. Do you have fellowship with God in His Word every day? Have you decided that it is unacceptable to go even one day without spending time in God's Word? Now, these are yes or no questions. Again, don't answer out loud. And if the answer there is no, okay, go ahead and understand. Yes, you should have a sense of guilt about that, but we can do something about it. Amen? And, you know, I stopped taking vitamins faithfully. I haven't given up on the concept of taking vitamins. I just have to work at it and get me a new habit going. If the answer to any of those questions that we just asked is no, then here's a question. Would you seriously consider making a commitment to be in God's Word every day from this day forward? Now, people hate commitments. people like to hear what's good, but then to have expectations placed upon them, sometimes that kind of shocks us a little bit, you know. Someone says, hey, we need somebody to mow the yard, and we all say, yep, I agree that the yard needs to be mowed. Would you mow the yard? Well, now, wait a minute. You know, sometimes we back up a little bit. I'm asking you this morning to make what may be, after salvation, one of the most important decisions you could make in your life, and that is, will you spend time, are you willing to commit to spend time in the Bible every day? And now I would just put a footnote on that. As we grow older, we understand something. We don't make hollow commitments. We make them, and then we keep them. Amen? I'm not asking you to take a vow before God or before me. I'm not going to hand a sheet out for you to sign. But what I'm asking you to do is, before God, would you be willing to say, I'm going to spend time in my Bible every day? Now, as soon as you say that, the devil has some arguments. He's right there, and he's got some arguments he's going to present to you. For example, the devil's going to say to you, you just can't do that. You probably just aren't going to be able to. Why make the commitment? You're going to fail. Well, I don't want to listen to the devil when he says I'm going to fail. I want to hear the Word of God, amen? So I'm not going to let the devil talk me out of this. The devil says, you're going to miss a day. Well, okay, maybe I will, but I'm not going to plan to fail. I'm going to plan to succeed, and I'm going to ask God to give me the strength to do that. And if I do miss a day, then I'll pick it back up the next day, and I'll keep on going. And I know for a fact that there are people in this room. In fact, there are a number of people in this room and in this church that have made that commitment, and I guarantee you, if you were to walk up to them, I won't name them, but if you were to walk up to them and ask them, what did you hear in the Word of God today? What did God show you? They could give you an answer. We ought to all be that way, amen? We ought to all be able to say, this morning, here's what I saw in God's Word. Like anything else in life, but far more important than anything else, you can do this if you'll put forth the effort, and I'll just parentheses, God enabling you. Now, that's not an excuse. When I say God enabling, you say, well, God's not going to enable me. No, I think He will. I've told this story before to some of you, but not all of you have heard this. I had a distant relative in Plainview, Texas, and she was, I guess she was my stepmother's, I don't know, anyway, she, elderly lady, and she made sure that every year that family had a reunion there in their town in Plainview in the summertime. They would do it right around 4th of July every year. And her husband had passed away. She still kept on going every year. And so I was at one of these family reunions with my stepmother and my dad and we were walking around and we were talking, and she said to me, she said, "Hey, next year, would you and your wife be willing to come back to the family reunion again?" And I said, "Well, I would, Lord willing." She said, "Oh, he's willing." And, you know, they're not going to make any excuses. Don't let God be your excuse. Let him be your strength. Amen? So the question is, would you have a devotion, Lord willing? Yes, he's willing. Amen? And so we would make that commitment. If you're not willing to put forth the effort, and I don't think anybody here would fall into that category, I trust, but it would reflect very poorly on your walk with God. So let's dig a little deeper here. We've asked these important questions. Let's just talk about this a little bit. Why don't people have a daily time in God's Word? And I'm going to ask some of you to read some verses for me here in just a minute. I may read them off the handout myself, but anyway, I'll tell you this. The devil is actively seeking to keep you away from God, out of his Word, out of prayer. It is a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor that God gives us, the protection that God gives us to fight spiritual battles. And I'm not going to go through that right now. But these things that the devil does are on a spiritual plane. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. When you do not walk with God, I just want you to know, the devil is winning that battle. When you are afraid to witness to someone, that's the devil is winning that battle. The three enemies we have, the world, the flesh, and the devil, all three will be gone when we step into eternity. Amen? No more world to tempt us, no more flesh to hold us back, no more devil to grieve us. Eternity is going to be great. But right now, we've got to fight those battles on those three fronts. And the devil and the flesh and the world as well are going to try to keep you out of the Word of God. So as a pastor, I'm asking you, as a church, would you be willing to say, I'm not going to let the devil win that battle? God enabling me, and he will. God willing, and he is. I'm going to spend time in the Word of God. You say, well, pastor, I'm busy. If you're too busy for fellowship with God, you're too busy. Pastor, I have a whole lot going on. Well, let's get rid of some of it. Amen? I'm not going to ask you who does or who doesn't do this, but I find there are some folks that have been very willing to spend lots of time on Facebook. What's more important, Facebook or God? A lot of folks are willing to spend time being entertained by a television or some other media. What's more important, entertainment or God? And again, you understand, I don't even need to explain this. It is possible for us to make time, to spend time with God every day. The devil's going to try and stop you. He fights his battles one day at a time, and we're losing that battle unless we fight back with that spiritual weaponry. And let me remind you, the devil will let you do anything. The devil will let you make any promise for tomorrow. It's today he wants you to say no. When I was in Salt Lake City, we went visiting on Thursday nights. Worked in the church all the day, had a pretty much full-time job on top of that. I had a family, four children, all the things that go into caring for a house and you know, mowing the yard and fixing the sprinkler system and cars to maintain and all those things. And Thursday night would come, and at 6:30 on Thursday night, my body said, no, we're done. You can go on visitation next week. This week you should stay home. Look how tired you are. I can't count the times the devil said, go next week, do it next time, do it tomorrow, do it later. But folks, we need to serve God today. Amen? Here you are in church. Praise the Lord. I want you to know you're a blessing to me by being here. It's a blessing to have folks come together to worship the Lord and hear from the Word of God. And today is the day we need to serve God. There are many reasons that explain, and these are not excuses, they're just bad reasons that we don't spend time in God's Word. I'm just going to begin, just kind of rough here, but bear with me. I think, simply stated, many folks just don't think it's all that important. Now, you have believed the devil's lie. Let me ask you, those of you that are married, try this. Don't talk to your wife or your husband for an entire week. How's that going to work? We got a problem, amen? Yeah, Veronica's already beaten up Antonio, and he hadn't even done it yet. No. You know, I just tell you, let's get on this tangent for a minute. Number one, if you are married, your husband or your wife should be your best friend. Amen? And we'll have a family conference sometime, have somebody come in and preach to you about that. But that's one of the keys to a good marriage. The Lord Jesus Christ ought to be your very best friend, but your husband or your wife ought to be your best friend. The one that you confide in. Of all the times that I spend at home, sitting in our living room with my wife and I just talking about who knows what, you know, it could be anything from the dog to the what we're going to have for dinner to what happened last week to a whole lot of the time we talk about church matters and so forth. But I like talking to my wife. If that fellowship is good. If we did not talk for 4 or 5 days, not because there was some distance between us or some issue. If we just didn't talk for 4 or 5 days, for example, if I was out of town or something, I'd get on the phone and call her. I enjoy that fellowship. And that's because my wife and I love each other, and so we love to have fellowship with each other. If it's not important for you to be in the Word of God every day, just be kind about this. The devil has built a distance between you and God. And you need to close that gap. Amen? And you can close that gap. Sometimes people just don't think it's that important. Some people may have tried to be faithful in God's Word in the past. They did not get quite what they expected out of it. Maybe they didn't have the experience they hoped for, and they quit. In other words, I think that happens in a lot of areas. I know, for example, sometimes we go soul winning, and we go out. I got to tell this story to those of you that haven't heard it. We had a fellow in Utah, and he called the church, and he said, you know, I've been away from the Lord, and I want to get right with God, and I want to come back to church. And the pastor said, great. He said, in fact, tonight we're having visitation. Why don't you come out for visitation? The fellow said, okay, and he shows up. And the pastor paired him up with me. Now, you never know what's going to happen on visitation. Sometimes you can knock a bunch of doors and find very few people at home. Sometimes you come across a door and they're not interested. Sometimes people get saved. So that night, this fellow and I went out, and he hadn't been on visitation probably in a decade maybe, or at least for many years, and we didn't know what to expect. And I said, well, we've got this one visit to go to here. And I took him over there to the house, and we knocked on the door, and the lady said, oh, please come in. And the girl says, this is the very first visit we made that night. The girl says, I have been waiting for someone to come and tell me how to be saved. And I'm thinking, oh, no, this guy's going to think it always happens this way. Sometimes you don't get that kind of response, amen? Sometimes you do. I've had some devotions on some days when I read the Word of God, and listen to me, God's always speaking. Sometimes my ears don't work too well, and sometimes I get distracted, and that's something we'll talk about later. You shouldn't do that. But don't always expect it to be an exhilarating experience. Just remember this, when you're in the Word of God, you're hearing from God, and that's good enough right there. You know, it's even better than taking vitamins, because you take that vitamin, you get no immediate result. But you do it because you know it makes a difference in the long haul. But you sometimes get a great immediate result from a devotion. But I know there are people that have said in the past, and maybe they did in the past, they said, I'm going to have daily devotions. And then for whatever reason, they stopped. And now the devil's going to tell you, see, I told you you couldn't do it. Don't even bother with this again, because after all, you've already failed once or twice or whatever. So just don't waste your time by trying again. That's not God talking, that's the devil talking, okay? If you didn't get something out of it that you wanted out of it, or it didn't happen the way you thought or whatever, that's fine, that's the past. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, we press forward to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what happened in the past is not the issue. Hebrews 11:6, a very important verse, says, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently. Diligence is not something that's common today. Today, everybody wants things quick and easy. They're looking for that magic fix, that silver bullet. They'll just, you know, take care of all the problems. I took the truck if you know about my son's truck, it stopped running, and I took it over to this place to get it fixed, and I'm hoping they'll find one thing that's wrong with it. Well, they did, and then they found one more, and then they found one more, and they're still finding things wrong with it, and the trouble is they're all costing me money. But sometimes there's not just one simple fix to a problem, amen? And so we don't expect to just suddenly get. I just want to tell you this, by the way. If you're looking for that one little subtle something little that'll come into your life and make you just the perfect Christian, it's not going to happen that way. Walking with God one day at a time, It's not, there's no magic potion or silver bullet or little trick you can use to be a good Christian. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligence means you put effort into it and you continually do that. It's a fact that our flesh, sometimes seeking an experience, will not keep us in God's word. If you're just anything you try to do for God, if the flesh energizes you to do that, it won't last long at all. And sometimes it won't even start to last. And what I'm saying is, for example, if you go soul winning just for the experience, I want the excitement of winning someone to Christ. You'll get that once in a while, but there are enough other experiences that won't keep you going. If you read the Bible, and again, it spiritually it will bless you, it will feed you, you will grow spiritually, you will develop an appetite spiritually that will keep you in the Word of God, but it won't always be that it's going to grab you and, oh, since I did it one day, I'm going to do it from now on. And I've done discipleship with a lot of people, and they have that assignment of reading their Bible every day. And we'll come back the next week and say, well, how'd you do? Oh, I didn't do so good this week. I didn't read my Bible. And you can see there's got to be more determination. There's got to be a decision in our heart to do this. And I trust you understand what I'm trying to say to you. Some people, number three, don't understand what time in the Word of God really is all about. Or they don't understand how to have a quality time in the Word of God. Proverbs 8:34 said, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. And so to understand how to have a good devotion, I'm going to start that subject next week. In fact, it grieves me a little bit that this week I'm not going to tell you much about that. I just want to get you going. But I'm going to give you something that will be a tool that will help you, to be faithful every day and to see more about how to get into the Word of God and let God talk to you. Some folks don't have self-discipline to continue doing things that are important. We talked about that, like in the area of vitamins. Some folks are spiritually unhealthy and have lost their appetite for God's Word, and that can happen. Undoubtedly, there are some who are not in God's Word daily, and they've lost sight of what they're missing, the blessings and the benefits that it will bring them. And they just, again, it comes back to number one, they just don't find it that important. They don't see the advantage of it. Truthfully, the devil has deceived them, and they've just decided there's more important things I can do with my time. That's sad. We should never come to that place as a Christian. If we're there, we need to get out of it. Sadly, there are those that are not in God's Word daily because they're allowing their flesh to control their lives. When the Lord Jesus Christ walked on the face of the earth, who can tell me, when did he pray? When did he pray? One easy answer would be all the time, but I mean, specifically, when did he pray? When are some of the times when he prayed? Someone tell me. Yeah, Kyle. Okay, that's good. But on a daily basis, when did he pray? Mike. Okay, but what time of day I'm trying to get to is, okay, morning, okay. Joe, what were you going to say? Okay, did he pray at 10 a.m. or when in the morning? Early, right? Okay, do you remember the time? Yes, that's answer number one, early. Now, I'm not going to ask the question. I know the answer. Some of us, there may be a few of you that enjoy getting up early. There may be some of you that just habitually get up early. But how many of you like to lose sleep and get up early? I had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to drive to Salt Lake City. I was not happy about that. I'd have rather gotten up later, but I had to get up early. And we'll do that if there's a priority in our life. If we've got to be somewhere, if we've got to go travel, or if we've got to meet somebody. Or I used to have a roommate in college. He'd get up at 4 in the morning and go duck hunting in the winter. Duck is not that good, especially wild duck. And he'd bring them back and freeze them and leave it in our freezer for a year, and we'd throw them away. But he enjoyed going duck hunting at 3 or 4 in the morning. I'm not habitually an early riser, but the Lord Jesus Christ forsook physical comfort in order to spend time with his Father in prayer. And then there were occasions when he prayed all night. What happened when they were in the garden the night he was arrested? He told three of the disciples to pray, and he went off alone to pray, and they fell asleep. My point is this, that it may be that we have to take some physical comfort and take it away and replace it with time with God. I suspect most of us have time that we wouldn't have to do a whole lot of that. Sadly, it's very possible that one of these three things is true. It may be that we don't love the Lord the way we should, that we don't love His Word, or that we have sin in our life which keeps us from God and His Word. You say, Pastor, how would that happen? When you read the Word of God, it convicts you, it speaks to you. And if there's a sin in your life and you know it, when you read the Word of God, it won't always be, it will not be comfortable. It will remind you, I need to make a choice between God and sin. That's the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to speak to your heart. That's a good thing. So when you have sin in your life, it can keep you out of God's Word. And when we get into God's Word, it will take sin out of our life. Just like the vitamin will help, the Word of God will also. All right, we've got about 8 minutes. I need to have some help here. Now, the handout has the verses on it. It wouldn't hurt anything if you look them up in your Bible as well. But I'm just going to have you all read a few of these, and I'm just going to pick some of the men with a good reading voice. So, Mark McMahon, would you be ready for me to read Psalm 56:2? Okay? Can you do that, Mark? Okay. Antonio, can you be ready for me to read Psalm 86:3? Okay? Okay. And then, Brother Dahlman, can you be ready to read, we've already read it once, Proverbs 8:34? Okay. And Alan, can you be ready to read Matthew 6:11? Okay, and let me see. Brother Sulele, can you read for us today? Could you read Luke 9:23 when I ask you to? Okay, and then I'll do the last one there. Okay, daily. Let's just talk about that word daily. Daily. Every day. Amen. We eat daily. We sleep daily. We drink water daily. When you're working on the roof, you drink a lot of water daily. And there's things that we do every day. If you are on a prescription medication, you're taking it at least daily. If your vitamins are going to do you any good, the best you can do is to take them daily. If you exercise, you really need to get some exercise daily. There are lots of things we understand daily. Folks, God created the day, amen? God gave us one day at a time. There are some great things about days. I like this. I like it that when I wake up in the morning, it's a new day. And the stresses and the worries and the griefs from the day before, they have been separated from me a little bit. Isn't it funny how you can go to sleep worried and wake up not so worried? The Bible says God gives us strength for the day, right? So, and then there's another concept, my favorite concept about daily perhaps is this, Matthew 6:34, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow, tomorrow, shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day, today, is the evil thereof. Don't borrow trouble from the future and deal with it today. You got enough to deal with today. One day at a time. That's the way we live our life, the way we serve God, the way we plan. And there will be time in eternity. We know the Bible talks about months. In order to have months, you have to have days. It's just that we won't have to sleep there, and I don't know how to explain all that, but I'm going to ask you to read some verses for me here. The enemy fights us daily. Mark, read Psalm 56:2 for me, if you would. Okay. Do we have any enemies? Amen. At least one. You have an adversary. That's the word adversary means enemy, the devil. You have an enemy, right? Now, I used to be in the Army, and I was in the infantry, and it was back in the days when mechanized infantry was just really getting going good, and so they had what they called light infantry, which was foot soldiers, and when we were taught how to move around in enemy territory, and oh, by the way, you are in enemy territory right now, this is the devil's world, okay, he's the prince of the power of the air. When you moved around into enemy territory, you always kept your eye out for the enemy. Amen. You always kept your eye, and you looked everywhere. The Bible says that we should walk circumspect. You know what that word circumspect means? Looking around. We have an enemy, and that enemy fights with us daily. So we need to be armed to fight back daily. B, we should listen to God as often or more often than we talk to Him. And we know that we need to talk to Him daily. Brother Antonio, would you read Psalm 86:3 for me? Yes.
Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto
Now, we could very easily have included in this series of lessons the subject of prayer. I find it easier to pray daily, maybe, than I do to read my Bible, because I need God daily. When I get discouraged, when I'm getting ready to do something, when I'm getting ready to go teach a class, or when I'm getting ready to prepare a lesson, or when I'm getting ready to go visiting, or when I'm getting ready to whatever it is, I know I need to pray before I do that. So talking to God daily isn't quite so hard. But we ought to listen to Him as much as we talk to Him, amen? We ought to hear from Him. It would be a shame if we just kept treating God like a vending machine. I don't go to a Coke machine expecting counsel. I just want soda. You know, I push the button and I get my product and I go my way. Don't treat God that way. We go to God and pray and expect Him to give us what we want and never listen to what He has to say. God ought to be able to talk to us as often as we call upon Him. Brother Dahlman, if you would read Proverbs 8:34.
Blessed is the man that feareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door.
Now, you've got to know a little about Proverbs to really appreciate the full impact of that verse. But if you were to go way back to Proverbs chapter 1 and begin to read, the objective in Proverbs is to give us wisdom. Wisdom is not just knowing things. Wisdom is properly applying them. I know, for example, that vitamins are good for me. I have no doubt about that. I can tell you all about that. But if I'm not taking them, knowing that, it means nothing. You know that this is the Word of God, but wisdom is when we apply it to our life. So we want to say to you that the Bible can give us wisdom. That's easy to say in Proverbs. And now what is talking here in Proverbs 8 really is not just God, but wisdom in particular, saying you need to watch daily at my gates. And then where I wanted to go with that was the first word, which is blessed. Now, the word blessed is a perfect word. Use it often. A good synonym that might explain it to you is the idea of being happy. Or it's not the same as joy, and I won't get into that, but just to have a when something good happens to you, if you win a soul to Christ, or like today, I'm blessed to see many visitors with us and some new members as well. And the things that God does that change the way we look at things, those are blessings. And somebody mentioned to me this morning coming in that Sheena, I think it was, had some blessings this week. The blessings keep us going, amen? And God does want to bless us. And one of the blessings that you will get is reading the Word of God, but God promises to bless you when you do read His Word. And so there are benefits, there are blessings to be had. Okay, Brother Allen, would you read Matthew 6:11 for me?
Give us this day our daily bread.
Now we know that Jesus in Matthew 4 and Luke 4 said this. He said, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God does man live. And we don't have to get back into the appetite thing again, but just as we need to eat physical food every day, we should be fed spiritually every day. So we're looking for daily sustenance in the Word of God. Now, Brother Salele, would you read Luke 9:23 for me, please? Take up his cross daily. Our walk with the Lord is a daily decision. There are burdens to bear every day. We need strength for the day, and we get that from the Word of God, and we need it daily. We have Bible examples of folks that were in God's Word daily. Acts 17:11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, I'm going to stop right there because I'm out of time, and we will look at section 4 here next week. And then I'm going to give you another handout next week and get you started. By now, I hope, I've encouraged you to want to spend time in the Word of God every day. I'm going to give you a little booklet, and that little booklet is going to have some sheets that you can use to help you do a daily devotion. But I can't give it to you today. I don't have them ready to distribute yet. And so today, let me ask you to do this. If you have not been having daily devotions in the past, real quick and I'm done, some of the best places to start in the Bible, if you haven't been reading before, The Gospel of John, the fourth book of the New Testament, is a great place to start. John is a very deep speaker. He covers some very deep spiritual things, and so you can't go through it quickly. But what I would encourage you to do is to pick a book, okay? John's a good one. I like, because it's so very easy to see the outlines, I like 1 Corinthians. Although 1 Corinthians mostly deals with troubles in particular churches. It tells you things that were wrong in the church at Corinth. If you want some encouraging things to read, Philippians or Ephesians are good. But I'm going to encourage you to read one chapter a day. Read it before, just real quick, before you read it, pray. Lord, please speak to me through your word today. I'm here to hear, and show me what you want me to hear. Read with a pencil. And don't be afraid to underline things in your Bible. And then listen to what God has to say to you. This is not just a book of stories. This is a book that God uses. It's quick. It's alive and powerful. God will speak to us. And if you would work on that this week, then I'm going to redirect you next week and we'll start doing something more specific. If you have already been having daily devotions in the past, don't let me interrupt that. But I want to get you something that will give you some ideas of how to hear more from the Word of God, some things that will be a greater blessing to you, things I've been taught, and I'll stop right there for now for time. Let's stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer.